No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 16th day of January. Welcome, everyone. We're doing it. You're doing it. You're here, and I'm so glad that you're here. So proud of you, and I'm so honored to be just a little small tiny part of this journey that you're on through the Bible, reading the Word of God, making it come alive, feeding your soul, renewing your mind, helping us to know God, who He is, His character, His heart, through His Word, and it clears up any misconceptions we have about God. It clears up the outright lies that we've believed about God, because there's not mistruths about God. There are lies, and we will see this very clearly spoken through Scripture when we miscommunicate about who the character, the heart of God truly is. And I can understand why He's so passionate about this message in particular, because anything that we spread that is not true about Him is false. It's not a variation of the truth. It is lies. It is deceit. And there is plenty being spread about Him, especially when we do not know His Word. If we don't know His Word, how can we know God when He is the Word? And so I'm proud of you for being here. And I hope that as you're here, you remain open. And being open means you're going to have to let go of some of the misconceptions that you may have believed to be true about God, and you're going to have to embrace some of the things that you've never heard before about Him. And that can be an emotional process, and you have to ride those emotions. Some grief, some anger, some feelings of how did I believe this, and how did I not know this for as long as I have? And those are very real emotions and very real questions to sit in the process. And once those emotions are out of our body, then we can embrace the truth. We can embrace God for who He is, because He is all truth. So we took a little journey through Job, and this makes sense of why we did this as we read chronological. Job is one of the oldest books in the entire Bible, and Job is a story within a story. It's a story about suffering. It's a story about how we portray God without knowing God. It's a story about exhausting all human wisdom to be able to embrace wisdom, and a story of the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This theme of suffering will extend throughout the entire Bible, and I believe that it's a great introduction for us to refer back to. And it also makes sense that we come to it so close at the front of the journey through the Bible, because we're about to be introduced to a man named Abram, and his lineage, his offspring, this family will be a part of the story of the Bible for the rest of the year. Stories within a bigger story. And so for today, we are back into the book of Genesis. And we pick up at Genesis chapter 12 and read through chapter 15 today. And just a couple days left in the Common English Bible. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name respected and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. Abram left just as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of their possessions, and those who became members of their household in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as the sacred place at Shechem, at the Oak of Moreh. The Canaanites lived in the land at that time. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I give this land to your descendants." So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. From there he traveled toward the mountains east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and worshiped in the Lord's name. Then Abram set out toward the arid southern plain, making and breaking camp as he went. When a famine struck the land, Abram went down toward Egypt to live as an immigrant, since the famine was so severe in the land. Just before he arrived in Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, I know you are a good-looking woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me but let you live. So tell them you are my sister, so that they will treat me well for your sake, and I will survive because of you. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw how beautiful his wife was. When Pharaoh's princes saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's household. Things went well for Abram because of her. He acquired flocks, cattle, male donkeys, men servants, women servants, female donkeys, and camels. Then the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with severe plagues because of Abram's wife, Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram and said, "What's this you've done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She's my sister,' so that I made her my wife? Now here's your wife. Take her and go." Pharaoh gave his men orders concerning Abram, and they expelled him with his wife and everything he had. Abram went up from Egypt toward the arid southern plain with his wife, with everything he had, and with Lot. Abram was very wealthy in livestock, silver, and gold. Abram traveled, making and breaking camp, from the arid southern plain to Bethel and to the sacred place there, where he had first pitched his tent between Bethel and Ai, that is, to the place at which he had earlier built the altar. There he worshipped in the Lord's name. Now Lot, who traveled with Abram, also had flocks, cattle, and tents. They had so many possessions between them that the land couldn't support both of them. They could no longer live together. Conflicts broke out between those herding Abram's livestock and those herding Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites lived in the land. Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have disputes between me and you and between our herders, since we are relatives. Isn't the whole land in front of you? Let's separate. If you go north, I will go south, and if you go south, I will go north." Lot looked up and saw the entire Jordan Valley. All of it was well irrigated, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as far as Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the entire Jordan Valley. Lot set out toward the east, and they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot settled near the cities of the valley and pitched his tent close to Sodom. The citizens of Sodom were very evil and sinful against the Lord. After Lot separated from him, the Lord said to Abram, "From the place where you are standing, look up and gaze to the north, south, east, and west, because all the land that you see I give you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants like the dust of the earth. If someone could count the bits of dust on the earth, then they could also count your descendants. Stand up and walk around through the length and breadth of the land, as I am giving it to you. So Abram packed his tent and went and settled by the oaks of Mamre in Hebron. There he built an altar to the Lord. While Amraphel was king of Shinar, Elasar's king Arioch, Elam's king Chedorlaomer, and Goyim's king Tidal declared war on Sodom's king Bera, Gomorrah's king Birsha, Admah's king Shinab, Zeboim's king Shemeber, and the king of Bila, that is, Zor. These latter kings formed an alliance in the Siddim Valley, that is, the Dead Sea. For 12 years they had served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they revolted. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings of his alliance came and attacked the Rephaim in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, the Zumin in Ham, the Emim in Sheva, Kiriathaim, and the Horites in the mountains of Seir, as far as El Paran near the desert. Then they came to En Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and attacked the territory of the Amalekites, as well as the Amorites who lived in Hazazon Tamar. Then the kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Bera, that is Zor, took up battle positions in the Siddim Valley against King Chedorlaomer of Elam, King Tidal of Goyim, King Amraphel of Shinar, and King Arioch of Elasar, four kings against five. Now the Siddim Valley was filled with tar pits. When the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah retreated, they fell into them, and the rest fled to the mountains. They took everything from Sodom and Gomorrah, including its food supplies, and left. They also took Lot, Abram's nephew who lived in Sodom, and everything he owned, and took off. When a survivor arrived, he told Abram the Hebrew, who lived near the oaks of the Amorite Mamre, who was the brother of Eshcol and Anir, Abram's treaty partners. When Abram heard that his relatives had been captured, he took all the loyal men born in his household, 318, and went after them as far as Dan. During the night, he and his servants divided themselves up against them, attacked and chased them to Hobah, north of Damascus. He brought back all of the looted property, together with his relative Lot and Lot's property, wives, and people. After Abram returned from his attack on Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom came out to the Shava Valley, that is the king's valley, to meet him. Now Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and the priest of El Elyon had brought bread and wine, and he blessed him. Bless Abram of El Elyon, creator of heaven and earth. Bless El Elyon, who gave you the victory over your enemies. Abram gave Melchizedek 1/10 of everything. Then the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and take the property for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I promised the Lord, El Elyon, creator of heaven and earth, that I wouldn't take even a thread or a sandal strap from anything that was yours, so that you couldn't say, 'I am the one who made Abram rich.' The only exception is that the young men may keep whatever they have taken to eat, and the men who went with me, Anir, Eshcol, and Mamre, may keep their share." After these events, the Lord's word came to Abram in a vision. "Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your protector. Your reward will be very great." But Abram said, "Lord God, what can you possibly give me since I still have no children? The head of my household is Eliezer, a man from Damascus." He continued, "Since you haven't given me any children, the head of my household will be my heir." The Lord's word came immediately to him, "This man will not be your heir. Your heir will definitely be your very own biological child." Then he brought Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you think you can count them." He continued, "This is how many children you will have." Abram trusted the Lord, and the Lord recognized Abram's high moral character. He said to Abram, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession." But Abram said, "Lord God, how do I know that I will actually possess it?" He said, "Bring me a 3-year-old female calf, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a dove, and a young pigeon." He took all of these animals, split them in half, and laid the halves facing each other, but he didn't split the birds. When vultures swooped down on the carcasses, Abram waved them off. After the sun set, Abram slept deeply. A terrifying and deep darkness settled over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "Have no doubt that your descendants will live as immigrants in a land that isn't their own, where they will be oppressed slaves for 400 years. But after I punish the nation they serve, they will leave it with great wealth. As for you, you will join your ancestors in peace and be buried after a good, long life. The fourth generation will return here, since the Amorites' wrongdoing won't have reached its peak until then." After the sun had set and darkness had deepened, a smoking vessel with a fiery flame passed between the split open animals. That day, the Lord cut a covenant with Abram. "To your descendants I give this land from Egypt's river to the great Euphrates, together with the Kenites, the Kenizzites, and Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." Okay, so we are back in the book of Genesis, in the story of Abram, a story within a greater story. And what we read here today is quite significant. We have to grab the significance of what is happening here. First of all, God is calling Abram out of his land, away from his father, away from his relatives. Everything that he knows, he's calling him away, and he's going to show Abram the land that God is going to give him and his descendants. And his promise is that he will make a great nation of Abram and his descendants. He'll bless him. He'll make his reputation great so that he will be a blessing. And we have to hear this. He will bless those that bless him, and he will curse those that curse him. And then, I mean, this is just of great significance. "And through Abram, all the people of the earth will be blessed." That sounds really good, right? Where do we sign up for that? I want you to make me great, God. I want you to make my children and my grandchildren great. I want you to make my name great. And I want you to bless everyone that blesses me. And I want you to destroy everyone that wants to destroy me. And through me, you will bless all the people of the earth. We want that. We will do just about anything. Leave our morals, our preferences, leave our families to gravitate towards anyone who seems to be able to offer us those desires of our hearts. But what we don't understand is the price that comes with such a blessing. And we will see this through scripture, how this plays out. But there's a lot here to unpack. So Abram leaves Haran with his wife, Sarai, his nephew, Lot, and everything that they have. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. Canaan is the land that God will show him, that he will give him and he will bless and he will live there with all of his descendants. But on his way, he travels through a land, a place called Shechem. And we just want to hold on to Shechem. Just make note of that. It's going to come up in a little while here. He continues traveling and he goes down to Egypt because there's a famine in the land. And here today we have this first piece of the story that matters. It's significant. It's significant because we see Abram's faulty humanity here in what happens next. So Abram's wife, Sarai, is a very beautiful woman, but by this time, she is, I think, roughly 90-ish years old. So she's seasoned, and it very well could be this is a time when people were living much longer lives in the Bible than they do today. So it's possible 90 then was the old 24, although I think women get more beautiful with age the older that they get. The point is, Abram is aware of her beauty and tells Sarai that when the Egyptians see her, to tell them that she is Abram's sister. If they know that she is his wife, they will kill Abram and take her. Now, that can be a little unsettling to hear, and it should be to us when we understand the equality of humanity. And to understand that women should not be treated as disposable or throwaway or as trophies. The point being, Abram was deceptive for the sake of maybe not knowing what to do, for the sake of fear. So this is what they did. And the Egyptians did indeed notice how beautiful she was. And because of this, Abram got special treatment by Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt. So Pharaoh gifts Abram all of these sheep, oxen, donkeys, servants, and camels, setting himself up to take Sarai, which is so interesting that by Abram telling the Egyptians that Sarai is his sister and not his wife, they could choose to take her either way. But by deceiving the Egyptians that Sarai is his sister and not his wife, this is sparing the life of Abram. They won't kill him to take his wife. They'll spare him if they think that he is her brother. But in the setup, in the transition of the animals and the servants, the Lord afflicts Pharaoh and his household with plagues because he is messing with a man's wife. And Pharaoh calls for Abram. What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? And they must leave the country. And so they do. But we have to hold on to this piece, this deception piece, because this will play out continuously through this family. As the reading unfolds today, there's some battling for some land and territory. And Lot ends up being captured along with all of his possessions. And word gets back to Abram. He gathers a small army and they go and capture his nephew Lot back. And we have the blessing of Melchizedek. We got to hold on to his name. We're going to see this again. He is the first king and priest of Salem, but he's the first both king and priest mentioned in the Bible. And we will see him down the road in the New Testament. And we end today finally with the covenant that God enters into with Abraham, and that Abraham enters into with God. We think we might be able to understand covenant, but I am I am fairly confident that we do not understand covenant in the way that we are going to have to understand covenant. But we will unpack this as we go. So as we close here today, I just want us to understand that God is entering into, it's beyond a promise, it's beyond a contract, in the same way that we have to understand what living in the fear of God is, we have to understand covenant and what God has promised Abram. And I think it's important that we reach for understanding in this, because this plays out throughout the rest of the Bible, and this plays out in our relationship with God and our relationship with those that we love. This is why it's all relevant. But as the final chapter of the reading shows us today, God comes to Abram in a vision and tells him, stop being afraid. And at the beginning of the reading, we see that God has shown Abram the land in which he's going to bless him with. And all of his descendants will live there and be blessed. And as we conclude the reading today, we understand Abram's confusion. I don't even have a child. You're promising me all of these things, and I don't even have a child. How can you do this? How can this be? I think it's a fair, legitimate question myself. But it's that surrender of trust in what you can't see, what you can't feel, what you can't make in your own way. And that is called faith. This is the substance of things unseen. And boy, in God's graciousness, as we read this final chapter today in this exchange of covenant, God does not just show him the plenty and the blessing, but the darkness. As Abram is sleeping in deep sleep, a frightening and terrifying darkness overcomes him. God is gracious to show him all, everything, the good, the bad, the hard, what is required of covenant. And we will see how this plays out as the days go on. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. And I thank you that we can trust you. We can trust you in your faithfulness and your goodness. We can't quite fathom that because we tend to not be as faithful as we like to think that we are. Help us, God, to understand that this is a relationship. What we want from you is required of us at the same time. Recognize that in everything that we ask and expect of you, that there is an ask and an expectation that you desire from us as well. And may we be people whose words and actions line up, and that those words and actions line up according to your word. This is walking and living in the truth. Lead us into all truth, I pray. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible. That is home base. That is the free app. That is where you find out anything that you want to know about the Daily Audio Bible. And that is where you can get connected into this beautiful community. Check out the prayer wall. Check out the community section. Check out the store. There are beautifully curated resources designed to enhance your journey through the Bible. So lots to see and do there. And there's a reason behind every single thing that is available. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for your partnership. We could not do this without you. And we are so grateful for your partnership. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or if you're utilizing the app, hit the Give icon up at the top right-hand corner. And lastly, look for Give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. That is the number for chronological. Or again, utilizing the app, hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on that prayer line. When you are finished on the app, hit submit and then turn your little piggy with your piggy, turn the wheel to chronological and it will get to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together and continue in this story in Genesis. I'm Jill. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hi, Deb C fam. This is Rebecca from Gothenburg, Sweden, calling in. I just heard a woman calling herself Rising Above Her Circumstances, asking for a prayer. And I could just hear that you are so just overwhelmed and tired after everything that you've been through and the responsibility that you've taken on and been that you've been there for six people. That's a lot. That's a lot to carry. So, Lord, I just pray that now you will give her rest and that you will just hold her in your arms, that you will let depression and anxiety and fatigue and all those things just rest in you, Lord. I ask that it will be a long time now that she will just be able to let go. Let go of responsibility, let go of heaviness, of difficult feelings, of carrying other people. And I just ask you, Lord, to bless her and her family, that they will feel ease and joy and a break in life's difficulties. In your name I pray, Lord.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. This is Cynthia from upstate New York. And I wanted to first pray for the fire tender who is dealing with MS and a resistant UTI. And Lord, I just ask that you come and you touch her, Lord Jesus, even if it's in the one limb that is physically working well for her, Lord Jesus. Just strengthen her body. Be with her, help her to understand and know that there is no fear when leaning on you. So Lord, let her lean on you and then let the doctors take good care of her, Lord Jesus. It sounds like she may have wonderful caregivers, but some fear of maybe going into the hospital, Lord Jesus. Please allow anyone that comes near her to be of sound mind, kind, loving, caring, and willing to take very good care of her. We just ask that this UTI be taken care of through medicine that she's taking now. So Lord, we just ask for that prayer for her. And for the woman who's asked for prayer for her mother because she is losing her hearing and her eyesight and is caregiver, my sister, I stand so strongly with you as I am dealing with those very same things with my mother. My mother is 90 and has glaucoma and has several other things and is losing her sight. Lord, I just ask for strength for you, Lord Jesus. Please take good care of yourself. I understand you mentioned AFib and blood pressure. Lord Jesus, please just send your angels to administer to her, to minister to her so that she can minister to her mother. Take good care of yourself, my friend. Drink well, eat well, sleep well, and play well. Just take good care of yourself so that you can take good care of your mama. I love you so much, and I give you gentle hugs. I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Tilly from Florida calling in for the fire tender. I heard your prayer request and wanted to offer it up to the Lord and encourage you in what you're going through there. And pray that you stay out of the hospital and get well. Finally, I lift up this lady that called. And I think she said she was from Georgia, but asked you to touch her, Lord Jesus, give her strength, Lord God, to endure and to go through the trials and sufferings of her life and getting older. And thank you so much for her, and thank you so much for this community, that we can reach out to each other for support and comfort. And I pray this in Jesus' name and through the power of your blood. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I can come with confidence in your throne of grace. We love you, we worship you, we adore you. I present this mother, dear God, who calls out about her son, dear Lord, asking for prayer for her son. A son, dear God, that was in good standing, dear God, but he's changed, dear Lord. Whatever change them, dear Father, I pray that you destroy the plan of the enemy, whatever it is, Lord. You know the source of why the change, dear God. We all come before you trusting you, dear Father. We all come together, dear Lord, as children of the great King, presenting this mother, Lord God, who wants to see her son transformed. I pray that we hear the testimony of what you have done, Father, that we can say, look what the Lord has done in his life. We trust you with him, Father. Only you can do what you know how to do, dear God. In the name of Jesus, break every chain. Break, dear Father, every plan the enemy may have in this young man's life. In Jesus' name, comfort her soul, dear God. Comfort this mom and listen to her prayer as she puts her trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Minita from Illinois.
I'm asking for prayer for a good friend of mine. Her name is Lolita. She was in a bad accident over a year ago, and her body was broken in several places. They put a new hip in her, and it got infected, and they removed it, put spacers in, and she was on antibiotics for 2 months. They put it back in, and she started to get around pretty good. And this week she developed an infection, and it went right to the hip. So tomorrow they are going in to take out the new hip and start her back on antibiotics. She has MRSA, and it is bad. Please pray for her. She really needs all the help she can get, period. She's a firm believer in God and a wonderful woman of God. I ask this of all my friends here on Daily Audio Bible. I've been listening now for 6 years, and I love this platform. Thank you, Jill and Brian, for everything that you do for us.